Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. It's good to see all of you here. I know there'll be some more folks coming in. We're glad you've taken time out to be with us. Is this not wonderful weather today? I mean, whatever your plans were inside, cancel them. Get outside and enjoy this great weather we're going to have, and it'd be great. We're looking forward to a good time of worship as well. So one of the ways we do that is to give you a chance to say hello to some folks. So if you'll stand with me right now, do that. Find someone, shake their hand, say hello, welcome them to Grace Point Church. I hope on your way in you picked up a bulletin or were handed a bulletin. There's a lot of stuff in there I want to reference. One of those things is the Connect card. You probably found that already. If you don't mind, have that ready to fill out, if you will. There is a place on the front you can give us some contact information. It's certainly your email if you want to get our emails. We'll be glad to do that. Later on in the service, on the back side, you'll have a chance to write down maybe some prayer requests or some praises. And so just have that with you and be aware of that as well. We appreciate that. Also, on behalf of Jason and John and myself, last week, I didn't even know there was a pastor appreciation day, week, or month, whatever it was, but you guys recognized us, John, Jason, and myself, and we appreciate, gave us a gift. And we were very, very grateful for that. So on behalf of all of us, although I don't know where John is right now, there he is, all right. So we want to say thank you very much. And we appreciate you showing love to us in that way. We want you to know we love you as well. Good enough? All right, very good, very good. I want to read a verse with you this morning as we get started. It comes from Proverbs chapter 3. It is verse 9. It says this, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income." We're going to be looking at that this morning. All right, so pray with me as we get started. Father, thank you that you bless us in so many different ways. One of the ways you bless us, Lord, is by taking care of our needs. You allow us to have jobs or to have folks who work, and you give us an income, and you use that to bless us, to take care of us, and in turn, you call us to use part of that to bless others. So teach us about that today, Father. Bless our time of worship. We're here to honor you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When that tree sprouts, it will grow between 90 and 115 feet tall in 5 weeks. You can almost literally, that's 2.5 feet a day. You can literally see this thing grow. But it takes time. Just as you can see the Chinese bamboo tree grow, you can also see God's kingdom grow, and you can be a part of that growth. But sometimes it takes time. We see some results here. We see some results there. We want to see more. And God says there's more coming. It just takes some time. I've been talking about growing grace for the last 4 weeks. This is the fifth week in this series of messages geared toward helping us grow God's kingdom by growing Grace Point Church, in part by renovating, upgrading, and improving our grounds and our buildings inside and out. And combined with who we are as a church, guided by God in His power and in His grace, God's kingdom will grow. And we'll see some of that growth now. We've already seen some of it. And we'll see even more growth later, not just here on this campus, but through ministries like Operation Christmas Tree, not Operation Christmas Tree, Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. We'll be part of what God's church grows in all kinds of places. So far, I'm sure I'm going to tell you the four messages I've preached so far, and I'm sure you could tell me back. I started with living in God's amazing grace, because when we live in a God's amazing grace, we want to share that grace with others. Check. There we go. Laugh now. Laugh now. So we did living in God's amazing grace. We talked about developing far-reaching faith daily and by way of giving as well. We talked about building a life of sacrifice. God sacrificed for us, and he calls us to sacrifice for him. And last week I talked about building a life of service. God calls us to serve him by serving others. Today, the last message in this series of Growing Grace, part 5, I'm going to talk about building a life of stewardship. Now, if you have your outlines, take the outline from the bulletin, rather. Take the outlines out of the bulletin, get a pen or pencil, and be ready to go along with us as we go through this message on building a life of stewardship. This is the time you should go get your popcorn and Coke. All right, sorry about that, folks. So, we're going to talk about building a life of stewardship. Now, on your outline, I've given you a definition. There's two places you can fill something in here about stewardship. First of all, stewardship is the responsibility to manage and use the time, talents, and creation that God has entrusted to us, not for our own benefit alone, but for God's glory and the good of others. This concept recognizes that God is the owner of everything, with humans acting as his caretakers, managers, and stewards of his possession, which includes finances, relationships, time, spiritual gifts, ourselves, and his creation. I know that's a lot, but that's the concept of stewardship. We manage what God has given us, even recognizing that he's the owner, but he's entrusted it to us to take care of. And everyone who is a believer, everyone who is a Christian, is a steward. You don't get that later at some point in time. You become a steward of God's everything the very minute you make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Now look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Don't save treasures for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break into your house and steal them. Instead, save your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, or where thieves cannot break in and steal them." Did you realize a break-in occurs every 26 seconds in our nation? That's what the FBI listed. That's over 1 million break-ins a year. They're not all successful, but that's how many attempts are made. And moths can cause damage when they're in their larval stage by eating natural fibers like wood, silk, and fur. Some of you probably have had moths in your clothes at some point. I remember growing up, my grandmother used to put those mothballs in the closet. Man, they'd keep me out. I'm sure they would keep a moth out. Jesus said we should be saving our treasures in heaven where nothing like that can steal or harm our treasures. Now, what does he mean by that? How do you invest in eternity? It's an important concept. It's so important that the phrase, "store up for yourselves treasures in heaven," is mentioned 5 times in Scripture. Notice that phrase, "store up for yourselves." The Bible says that you can have a personal bank account in heaven. He says this, fill it in. He says, "I will enjoy in heaven whatever I invest in heaven." Now, how do you save treasures in heaven? By making some heavenly investments. Today, I'm going to share with you 3 ways to make heavenly investments that you'll get a return on one day when we are there with the Lord. Number 1, I invest in eternity by using money to serve others. God wants me to take some of the money I get and use it to help others in need. That's part of what we're doing with Operation Christmas Child. We're taking some of the money we have, we're investing it here, and it's going to have long-term effects literally around the world and for people who will come to know Christ as their Savior. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It says, "Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night." Well, that last part of that verse, it's sobering, isn't it? It could be your last night. We never know. There are no guarantees for tomorrow. So he's saying, don't just wait. Wait until whenever. You may not ever get to whenever. Share now. Since we don't know when we're going to die, give some now. I've heard the phrase I like to use, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we're going to share in God's inheritance. God wants us to share his fortune with us. And he wants us to share what he gives us with other people. Let's say your father was a billionaire. And he wanted to share his fortune with you, but he wanted to make sure you would take care of it in a good way. So he may test you first to see if you could handle such an enormous inheritance. So your father gives you a set amount, and he wants to see what you do with it, how you live with it, how do you utilize it, to see if you're responsible. That's kind of what God's saying now. I'm going to give you something. I want to see how you're going to use it. If you're going to be responsible, then I can give you more. And one day when we get to heaven, he'll share blessings with us we can't even imagine. He wants us not to waste what he gives us, but to use it to bless our family, our friends, other people here, and literally around the world. Look what Proverbs 19:17 says. When you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and he will pay you back. I like that verse. You ever think you had to lend God money? It's more like, God, lend me some. God says, when you use what I give you, you bless others with it, then I'll bless you back. Secondly, number two, we can invest in eternity by using our money to worship God. We invest it by serving others. We invest it to worship God. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns and overflow your barrels. Now that's a promise. He says, you give to me and I'll give to you and we're going to see who wins. God wants to give us the first 10% of the income we have back to him. That's called a tithe. I've talked about that before. When you give your first 10% to God, you give him that tithe. Then you give anything above that, that's your offering. So we're tithing, and when I do a Operation Christmas Child box, that's above and beyond. So that's my offering. I give my tithe, and then we can give an offering as well. We can do it in many other ways than just that. So we bring the tithe, and we give an offering. It's kind of like watching God tell us, you can't outgive me. You give, and I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless what you give, and I'm going to take care of you. It's kind of like, remember, maybe this happened with you when you were kids? When I was a child, my brother and I would go to my dad and say, Dad, can we have some money? Because we weren't working at that time. When you're 10, you don't work. He said, yeah, here you go. And we would take that money and go out and buy his birthday present. Right? Did you ever do that? I still do that. Libby, give me some money. I need some. What do you want? It's really his money, but it's the thought that counts. It's the love behind it. God gives us everything we have. It doesn't matter if you worked for it, if you're educated for it, if you have experience in it, if you luck, it doesn't matter. It all comes from God. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why God says, give your offering to him. Make sure you give him your offering. Because where our money goes, that's where our heart will be. Think about this. I don't really care much about Microsoft. I like some of their software. They write my sermons every week. But I don't really care much about Microsoft. But if I wanted to care about Microsoft, I would buy some Microsoft stock, because then I would have a vested interest in Microsoft, right? I don't care much about KFC, although I love their chicken. If I go there, I want them to give me some of that good chicken. But if I wanted to care about KFC, I would buy stock in KFC, because then I have a vested interest. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. Wherever I put my money shows my priorities and it shows my values. So here's the question. Where is your heart? Where are your values? Where are your priorities? Regardless of what you think is important, there are a couple things that show what's important. You take your calendar and you take your checkbook or your Visa card statement. You look how you spend your time, not how you think you spend it. You look at how you spend your time and you look at how you actually spend your money. That's going to tell you what your priorities really are, what's important to you. So where do you want your heart to be? If you want your heart to be with God, then one of the things you do is you invest your tithes and your offerings into God's work. For what will you be remembered? The greatest investments you can make have nothing to do with Wall Street. Greatest investments start in people. Look at John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, no one has greater love than this, that they would lay down their life for their friends. The best seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, a lifetime that you best invest in your life are those which you invest in people. Directly, sometimes indirectly. Success is not counted by high how you've climbed, but by how many people you've brought along with you. Imagine at the end of this year, 2025, what are we, a few months away? At the end of 2025, America's decided that we're no longer going to trade in dollars. Let's say we're going to go to the euro system. And from that point on, only the euro will be good in our nation. It's the only acceptable value of currency. It's coming up soon. What would you do? Probably you would convert as much of your assets as possible into euros. You would keep a little bit of American dollars left to get you through the big conversion day, but you would put your money into euros. Folks, one day there's going to be a great conversion. It's going to be the day you die. One day our lives on this planet will end, but you won't. You're going to last for all eternity. When you go to meet the Lord, everything you have here stays here. Only what you have sent on before will you find again in heaven. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. And number three, I can invest in eternity by using monies to bring people to God. I can invest in eternity now by using some of my resources to bring other people to Jesus. God wants you to use some of your money to take the good news to others here and around the world. Look at Luke 16, verse 9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, invest in getting people into heaven so that when you go there one day, somebody's going to welcome you. It'll be God, it'll be Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and then hopefully other folks will say, it's good to see you again. Do you remember the day you did this? That was part of what God used to change my life, and that's how I got saved. And now you're here. Can you imagine getting to heaven and having people come up to you and say, I want to thank you. You bought a Bible that was given to me and it was sent to Algeria or Peru or Bolivia or Mexico or another one of the 195 nations in our world. And you brought a Bible to me and I got saved and I just want to thank you. Maybe you gave someone some small group material and through that they got saved and they're going to find you in heaven and they're going to thank you. Maybe you pack one of these Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes and they're going to go to a place like we saw a few minutes ago and a little boy or a little girl's going to get saved and they're going to tell mom and dad and their brothers and sisters and they're going to get saved and they're going to find you in heaven. And they're going to say, thank you. And you're going to say, what are you talking about? And they're going to say, you don't know, you don't remember. When you sent one of these, somebody's going to go to the James Island Food Bank. We don't think much of that. We think we give money, we give rice, they food. We have some folks that go work there every month, every other month. Somebody's going to go there, and for somebody, they're going to talk to them about Jesus. And for somebody, they're going to get saved because you gave rice or you had time to go over there. And when you get there, you didn't even know they got saved. They're going to come and find you, and they're going to thank you. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. You honor God through this genuine act of service in your commitment to spread the good news of Christ through your generosity in sharing. Underline that phrase, your generosity in sharing. How do you do that? You do it regularly through your tithes. You do it more through what you give above your tithes, your offerings. You do it in becoming part of growing in grace. Growing grace. Changing our facilities, changing our campus so we can win more people to Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, it's just not so we have new carpet and new painted walls, chairs instead of pews, a better playground than the one we used to have for the kiddos. If that's all it was about, I would not waste my time. I would not waste my energy. I would not waste my money. If that's all it is, have at it. I'm not going to be a part of it. If we don't have the longer view, the better understanding that that's a part of winning some people to Jesus, changing the destiny of their lives from hell to heaven, giving them a better life down here, if that's not the crux behind everything we're doing with this, shame on us. But I guarantee you your leadership, and I'm guessing most everyone here knows that we're about something bigger than a church with a little makeup on it. Winning others to Christ is my heartbeat. Because I remember what it was like to be lost. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a broken home. And I remember what it was like trying to live without Jesus. When I got saved, it literally changed my life. And I want to make sure that everything I do, everything that we do, shows other people God's love and his forgiveness and his purpose and meaning for life through Jesus so that they can have the same experience that many of us here today have had. Grace Point Church will be changed and different from what we're doing because what we're doing is trying to give God the opportunity to work through us to imprint his love and grace and forgiveness on people around us. Winning others to Christ is my heartbeat, and it needs to be the heartbeat of this church. I know we win them, then we grow them. I get that. I'm not saying we won't grow them, but you got to win them first. Rick Warren, who is a pastor now retired from the Saddleback Valley Community Church in Orange County, California, started a church from zero. Went out there and talked to a couple of friends and said, I want to start a church. We're going to grow a big church one day for Jesus. You want to help? And a couple of friends said, yeah, let's do it. And that church, under his leadership, by the power of God, went from zero to 40,000 members. They weren't selfish. They started churches all over the state of California, more than we can count. They started churches in other nations. They even, don't ask me how, they even got into China and started a church. Rick Warren's father was a pastor. Not educated, but loved the Lord, and he pastored churches. And he loved to see people come to Jesus. His dad was dying, and literally on his bed, Rick came over and was with him. He said, Dad, it's going to be okay. You know where you're going. His dad was in and out of it. He said, yeah, Rick, I know. And he turned around to his son and he said, reach one more for Jesus. It just took Rick back. It came back to his dad when he got composed, put his head on his dad's chest. And he cried. And his dad said it again. Reach one more for Jesus. Rick asked one of his leaders in his church to use that story to write a song. Guess what the title of it was? Reach One More for Jesus. The words are this. As I looked in my father's eyes, sat by his bed and held his hand, and I said my last goodbyes, he just held on for as long as he can. And I heard him say, reach one more for Jesus. Before I close my eyes, I must reach one more for Jesus. I won't let another day go by. That's what I'm living for. To reach one more for Jesus. That's how I feel. And I'm pretty sure if you're a believer, you've been coming here much long at all, or if this is your first time here, I'm sure that's how you feel. I'm sure that's part of your heartbeat. Reach one more for Jesus. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Let me tell you, remind you of what the guiding principle of our church is. The guiding principle of our church is whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, look at 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. Paul said, I have been all things to all sorts of people that by any possible means, underline those three words, any possible means, I might win some to God. I do all this for the sake of the good news. Now that's pretty simple. I do all things, anything that's possible, all means, I do it for the sake of the gospel. Now, I put it in there in a different translation because it kind of fleshes it out the way it talks about it. And I love this Message version. Read along. Look what it says. Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all. In order to reach a wide range of people, the religious and the non-religious, the meticulous moralists and the loose-living immoralists. I love this. I want to get to the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't want just to talk about it. I love this. I wanted to be in on it. Anything there's ever been in your life you wanted to be in on? Think, gosh, decades and decades and decades ago and decades ago. I talked about Microsoft. Think back to when they first started and nobody knew who they were. Boy, wouldn't it have been great to be in on it then? You want to get in on the best thing you can get in on? You get in on God's work. You don't just, at the end of the verses, you don't just talk about it. I want to be in on it. And Paul says, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Paul was ready to reach one more for Jesus, no matter what it took. Paul said, I entered into their world. You know, most of us have been believers for so long. Nothing wrong with that. Most of us have been believers for so long, we don't even know what it's like to be in the world of a lost person today. We forgot. That's why sometimes we need to hang around folks who aren't Christians. Find a group of unsaved people and become a friend. We are trying to reach the same people at this church that Jesus was trying to reach, that Paul was trying to reach, and that is the unchurched. The unchurched are two groups. They're people who are lost, people who haven't been saved yet, and they're inactive Christians, people who are saved, but they've walked away from God. We want to reach those folks. And Paul said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. Remember the Klondike commercials years and decades ago? What would you do for a Klondike bar? The worst one I ever heard was, I'd rub my mother-in-law's nasty, overgrown, toenail, bacterially infected feet for a Klondike bar. I'm like, no way. I ain't doing that. Paul said, whatever it takes, I'll do it. I wonder if we have that mindset here at Grace Point Church, whatever it takes. I remember a long time ago, there was a church that got this mindset together, and they were in the country south, and they said, what can we do to win lost people? And somebody said, well, let's do a professional wrestling match. What? Has anybody here besides me ever been to a professional wrestling match? Yeah, man, they're pretty cool. So let's do a professional wrestling match. And they're like, what are you talking about? Because people who aren't saved, who aren't churchgoers, who aren't Christians, they'll come and watch that. So they set up an outside ring, just like it would be on TV. They brought some professional wrestlers who were Christians, and they had wrestling matches. Boom, boom. I mean, everything was great. And in the midst of that, one of the wrestlers would stand up, and he just shared straightforward, just a testimony. He wasn't all churchy. He just shared his story. And you know what happened to that crowd? Some of those folks got saved. Can you believe that? At an outdoor, in the South, country-style wrestling match. I think we should do that, and I'll have John wrestle anybody who comes up. We'll see how youthful he really is. Oh, wait a second, John. I got people raising their hand right now. Our lack of doing things to win people to Christ, to draw them in, is only limited by God's leadership and our ability to imagine. We need to develop the imagination that Walt Disney had. He imagined things that nobody would even believe. People wouldn't even back him. We need to get a heart and a mindset that says, God, give us vision so we can be ready to do some stuff that'll draw in the unsaved, non-churched people so we can introduce them to Jesus. And so part of this whole growing grace thing is about using our finances, our money, to invest, not in a building, but into God's kingdom so we can bring more people here to learn about Jesus. If we were doing it for any other reason, it's just like wasting our money. You know, there are a lot of ways you can waste our money. Would you believe that? Can you agree with that? I went into Amazon and I found some ways you can waste your money. You know, they have designer baby clothes that are crazy expensive on Amazon. Designer baby clothes, also known as glorified stain gatherers. Why do we spend $30 on a Feed Me or No One Sleeps t-shirt that's three ticks away from being covered with breakfast? You can buy toilet paper. You can buy designer toilet paper. $10 a pack on Amazon. A pack of three, $10 a roll. $10 a roll. I can get a lot of Big Macs for that. You can buy designer frisbees, $305 for a designer frisbee. They have a 16.9-ounce bottle of perfume for $435,000. You ain't getting that for Mother's Day. And I'm not making this up. I'm not that creative. Joe, show that picture of that baseball. You see that baseball? That's real, it's good, it's live. It is the only Josh Gibson single-signed baseball in the world. And you can buy it for $1,603,652.39. They couldn't leave off the 39 cents. $1.66 million. I really cracked up when I read after the price of that, free delivery. And I'm like, really? You think? Now, I'm not saying you can't go out and have some fun. I am saying you shouldn't buy that baseball. I'm not saying you can't go out and have fun with your money. God wants us to be responsible with our money. Growing Grace is asking you to be a part of Grace Point's Renovation and Church Growth Institute. It includes our buildings, the interior and the exterior of both of our buildings. It includes landscaping that starts, I think, in about 4 weeks. Rachel, is that about right? It starts next week. Not this week, but the next week. That is going to be so cool. Nice. Let me give you some figures, because you should be happy about this. Our initial goal for this project was $452,651. That blew me away. I know I preach about faith, and I mean it, but sometimes my faith shrinks. $452,651 was the initial goal we had. Now, there was an adjusted goal, because the committee... And then the three pastors met together. Was it last week? I guess it was last week. And I told them 2 weeks ago to be praying about God would have you to pledge. And so we've been doing that. We came together, and the committee and the pastors are pledging between 10 people $151,100, which means our second goal was $301,551. It went down from 452 to 301 from those 10 people pledging what they're going to give over 2 years. Now, some people gave money early, before we really even started all this, when we were just talking about it. And so we had to adjust for that money as well. So if you adjust all of that together, here's what we have left. $269,237. And I think at this point, God deserves a big hand. Because look what he's done. From $452 to $269. That's incredible. That's what we need. And I believe that's what God's going to provide. So here's three things I want you to do. Now, you've already been praying. I hope you've already been praying about it. God bless what we're doing. Guide us as we do it. What part do you want me to be in this? What part do you want me to give? How do you want me to give? So then, in a couple few weeks, we're going to hand out pledge cards. And it's just a card that says, here's Kevin. Here's what I'm pledging over 2 years. I'm going to pray about it. Hold it up. Put it in the box back there. Whatever you want to do. We're going to get that back so we know what's been pledged. And then you pay that pledge out over 2 years. If you want to pay it all at once, not going to hurt my feelings. But we'll give you 2 years to pay that out, a little bit at a time. And it's going to be, listen, we've talked to you about growing and praying and pledging in faith. You can look at what you can give, fine. But ask God, by faith, what do you want me to give? Libby and I have been talking about that a few weeks, praying about it, having discussions about it. So we came up with what we think God wanted us to pledge. And lo and behold, and I'm not bragging or anything, but that gift the church gave us last week for being the pastor, that was an answer to prayer, because now that goes right back in to growing grace, right? That's how God works. I need some more thank yous, but that's going to be something there. So we can give that now, and then we'll be paying our pledge over the next 2 years, or maybe God gives us more than what we pledged. It's not something you should cringe about. It's not something you think we're coming down. It's not that at all. We want you to be excited and to give as God directs you to give. Is that fair enough? And if God's telling you no, we're not going to come talk to you about it. If he's saying don't do it right now, if he's telling you that, who am I to say, you know, above and beyond what he wants? Okay? Ooh, this is a long one. I'm going to blame it on the technical problems we had earlier. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you're the kind of God that gives us the ability to have dreams and visions, not only for our own lives, but for the life of our church. And we pray your guidance, your direction, your vision, not only for our church as a whole, but for each individual person who's a part of our church to follow your leadership, to do what you're calling them to do, is certainly as it coincides with growing grace. And we pray, Father, that you will not only bless, but use that as a process that more people will come to know Jesus. Now, bless us during our time of invitation, whether it's something we do on the inside, a heartfelt prayer and guidance, or whether we need to come up and make decisions and talk and pray or go to different places in our church, the stations. Just bless our time together now. Thank you that you hear our prayer, our cries, not for money, but for lost people to come to Jesus, and that we can be a part of that. So bless our time now, our response time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are those the only boxes left that are on? Okay. So just remind them, those are the only boxes.
OCC boxes? There's how many left back there? There's only five left?
Nine
left. I can't read.
Or here.
But or see, I guess I can't even see, but nine
or
left or here. But, you know, this is an opportunity. You can also get some plastic boxes at Dollar General, different places, and use those if they're the same size. Wow, a lot going on. Kevin, I think there's a baseball in my attic that I pitched. It was a game ball from college, and we have a silent auction coming up. Maybe Kevin and Jason and I could sign it, and that would be the only one in the world. That's free shipping. And the other thing about wrestling, I have to have a little comeback on this one now. How many were at Folly Beach for the baptism? I can't even stand up out in the ocean. You know, the waves knock me over. I would lose. So anyway, but hey, one other thing, we got the silent auction fish fry. That's coming up tonight at 6. This is a great opportunity. Youth parents, if you'd like to participate, if you would like to be a youth worker, you have to pass a test. You have to be able to come and eat Mexican food and hang out with us tonight at 6. All right, so come on out. We'd love to have you. Parents, you're welcome to come too. Oh, yes. So, again, if you're here today, a guest with us, please say hi to one of the pastors. We'd love to meet you. And if you remind everybody, put your cards in the boxes as you go out the back. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this exciting time as we move forward in our growing grace. We thank you for that. What a great name for us to grow and to reach out to others, to reach one more. Jesus, help us to do that this week. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.